This is a really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Mark Charter. Mark Charter. Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gratham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
What's up, guys? It's the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It's a podcast. We're here at Charter House. I'm Jared Stansbury. What's up, Mark Charter?
Just getting yelled at Greg for being late.
I didn't yell. I didn't say a word.
You were mean. You sent a harsh text. Where the hell are you?
Well, I mean, we're very busy people. You know, we got to stay on strict schedules.
We've been accused of being busy from time to time.
Yeah. No, it's all right.
So obviously Williams isn't here.
He's not. Another illness.
So this is a decent story, by the way. How many people listening out there right now know it? I want to pronounce it right. Can one of you guys look it up for the pronunciation of this word?
Jared, you on this?
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
So we get a text last night that Jared's going to be joining us today. And I alluded to the fact, has Williams quit?
It looks like it's the I, like pie.
Okay, so we'll go with that one. So Williams isn't going to be here. I asked if he was sick. And Gray chimes in with Williams, yes, is once again sick. And he's come down with a disease apparently known as pica. I think I'm saying that right, pica.
Yeah, we'll go with it. Yeah.
So pica... I do an immediate Google because I'm the curious type and I want to know what El Pike is. And actually, Jared's on this text chain as well. He also Googles it.
No, Jared, you just knew, didn't you?
And sent a link or something.
Yeah, I knew. I had a vague idea of what it was initially, but.
So the interesting thing is pica is basically a psychological disease. Where you eat weird stuff. Let's put it that way. And actually,
You almost eat
everything. One of the examples was actually ice, which I know a lot of people that eat ice and they don't have pica. So that was a weird one. But the other thing was like hair and
grass
and wood, and just all these things. What do you got, Jer?
On Wikipedia, it is described as an appetite for substances that are largely non-nutritive, such as ice, hair, paper, drywall or paint, metal, stones or earth, glass. Or feces.
So Gray sends over that Chris has come down with a case of pica, and you would normally think, now here's the thing, you would normally think immediately that Gray's lying. But if you look at the history of Chris Williams, it's not so far-fetched to think that Williams, of all people, would have an odd disease. I mean, he's already had scarlet fever.
He's working so hard, he's just gone crazy.
He works hard all the time. He seems, frankly, because I know him fairly well, he seems in a constant state of stress. This guy. And what made it even more, and for those that have never been around Chris Williams, and I don't even know if Chris knows that he does this, but everybody has oddities or tics or whatever they do over time. But Chris has a thing when you're sitting there talking where he kind of like will grab his eyelashes a little bit. And I'm not going to go as far as to say that Chris eats them, but he goes from the eyelashes almost directly to the mouth. So I'm thinking, well, he does eat his eyelashes. I've seen him do this. So this makes a lot of sense to me. The funny thing is, and Chris, if you don't eat your eyelashes, come on next week and defend yourself. But so I'm thinking maybe Chris does have pica. That's a possibility. Well, the funny thing on this text chain is Jared immediately chimes in, and Jared doesn't know that this is untrue. And for those listening, Chris apparently does not have pica. So, haha, funny, Gray. Jared immediately chimes in with the fact that, no, this is a legit thing. And he knows a guy who apparently knows a guy that had pica. And as Jared puts it, this guy used to stick his hands in his butt and then eat his shit. So I'm thinking, man, Chris has got some kind of bad here. I don't know if this is something you want. And then from there, I'm thinking, well, okay, now the pink guy's starting to make more sense. Okay, because Chris is eating his poop, and then it's getting up into his eyes.
Yeah, that's why he's got pink eye all these times. So he's had pink eye like 15 times last year. So
adjust those levels, Jared. Jeez. So this story, even though it was a complete crock of crap from Gray, was actually making some sense for a couple of reasons. So I hand it to Gray for actually coming up with something that was plausible, knowing that we're talking about Chris Williams. But Chris apparently does not have pica.
No, I even got Chris to play along last night a little bit with Jared and just say how he's constantly hungry and constantly.
Yeah, and then things. Jared's texting me like, well, he is constantly hungry. He says he's constantly hungry. So, yeah, so anyway, Chris Williams is not here today.
Nope.
And does not have pica.
Does not. Working on the new website that should be out in, 3 weeks or so?
Yeah, July 1st, right?
Hopefully July 1st. It's not
July 1st to 15th. I think is what C-Dub always says.
So,
he said he was seeing the mobile site this week.
I've seen it.
Have you?
It looks
he
solid.
Told me he was going to send it to me. He never did.
Is it sexy?
It's a big time improvement, which, let's be honest.
There was a lot of room for that.
A lot of room for improvement on the mobile site. It looks great. Very sexy.
You guys found the right person. I think you were searching for...
We found the right person. This guy's sharp. Really sharp.
That's good. I'm excited to see it. You know, just like I'm excited to see another blowout in Game 4 of the NBA playoffs. Remember last week or 2 weeks ago where I said I think this will be one of the most entertaining series of all time?
Yeah.
Wrong.
No, dead wrong.
Dead wrong.
I was telling you, I have not watched the fourth quarter in the last two games.
It's just, what is going on? So here, okay, Jared, basketball expert, the defeater of Adam Gray in one-on-one.
Adam wouldn't come play noon ball.
Previous to this year, and I don't remember the exact total. They showed this last night, but I think it was victories by more than 20 points, maybe more than 25 points, one of those two. Previous to this year, the record high for the NBA for a playoff was 11 games. This year, I don't even think including last night. Last night, what was the final last night?
They won by 30, 120 to 90.
Okay, so the last night would have been the 20th time in this playoff that has happened. So look at all the playoffs we've had, okay? Mm-hmm. 11, and now 20 this year. What is the difference this year that's allowing so many blowouts when we haven't had anywhere close to this? I mean, we're double, basically double any other previous playoff. What is going on, basketball gods?
Well, the East sucked. There's a big discrepancy of talent in the East, so that would play a factor. And then I'd say that the bottom half of the West, I mean, really wasn't great, so that probably led to some as well.
Yeah, but we've seen three straight blowouts essentially in the finals
for the best.
Well, and the best teams, when these teams are so reliant on shooting the three pointer, especially these two,
and they don't make them.
If they have a night where they're not making them, but the other team is, well, it can get pretty out of hand pretty quick. This mobile site is absolutely beautiful, by the way, Adam.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah. Makes me sweat.
You all right?
Yeah,
Jared's
I'm okay.
Pants are growing
inside. You need me to fan you a little bit?
Yeah, it's okay. I'm okay. I'm okay.
Jeez. So I agree with you, obviously. Yeah, if you're relying on the three and you're missing, which the Warriors in the first half of that game stunk last night at threes. They were missing it constantly. Then, yeah, that happens. It seems like it doesn't take long for a team in the NBA to go on a 10-0 run. It seems to happen a lot, in fact, and then game's over. It's surprising to me, though. Are you guys surprised by this at all? When a team can look so dominant, game one and two, and yes, on their home court, and then look so bad. I mean, are they great or are they not great? Because a great team, I don't think, gets blown out like that. They say, no, enough's enough. Let's fight back. Let's get this game close. And they did. They got it down to seven or so. People are revving at our office. So it got closer, but then obviously back up to 30. But does that take away from the legacy? They're talking about, is this one of the greatest teams of all time? Okay, and everybody compares them to the Bulls and the Showtime Lakers and things like that. Did the Bulls get blown out by 30 in the NBA Finals? Or would they have just said, no way, not happening? I mean, where am I in history on this team? Are they not as great as people think they are? Or is that just today's NBA?
Go ahead, Adam.
Well,
obviously, I didn't ask you guys before the show this question, so
yeah,
you're not prepared.
No, it's fine. I don't know. I think a lot of times we overreact off of one game. I mean, it is the biggest discrepancy in points from one game to the other. I mean, it was a 60
points
swing. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think part of it is they got hit in the mouth in the first quarter at home. The fans, the Cavs were going crazy. And part of it's probably just human nature where you look at it and say, hey, we got 2-0 lead. We know we can beat this team. Let's kind of just pump the brakes a little bit, not expend a ton of energy in this game, and we'll be back in game four.
And I hate that mentality. I mean, if that's truly mentality, nobody on their team would ever admit to doing that.
Yeah.
But the Warriors have a bad history in game threes.
They've
for the
lost
last couple
five,
of years.
Five straight, yeah.
Which makes no sense to me because I think you show up every game trying to win the game. Same effort. Why would it be any different? So to hear that frustrates me to no end. But, I mean, you might be onto something. Do you guys recall, too, minutes played? So going back to the Bulls, right?
Yeah.
The best Bulls. Jordan, how many minutes was he playing in finals games? Am I way off in that the NBA, the rest that these players get during games, has gone massively up? Or am I just not remembering history correctly?
I think it's just
– I think you're not remembering history correctly.
I was going to say, I think it's just different the way they do it.
And Jordan used to play a lot of five-game series as well. These guys are all seven-game, right?
Yeah, he had 44 minutes in the 90-91 finals, 42.3 in the 92, 45 in the 93, 42, 42, 41.
That's a lot more minutes. So
what's LeBron doing?
What's Curry playing? 35?
Well, Curry's not playing as much right now either. You know, but he doesn't have to because they blow teams out. You know, when you're winning by 30, he doesn't play the whole fourth quarter. That's going to
– But the counter-argument would be last night would be a game where he's not sitting at all. You got to have him in there to try to dig yourself out of a hole.
Yeah.
And it's almost as if it doesn't matter what's happening on the court at the time. Here's his designated rest period. He's coming out. And my philosophy would be like, guess what? Your offseason's about to start. Why would you want any rest?
I think you've seen a change in how general managers and coaches coach teams now. I mean, you look at the Spurs. They rest players all year long to get ready for the playoffs.
Yes.
And then they look at it, too, and say, well, it's a seven-game series. We want at the end of the series for our guys still to have something left in the tank.
Yeah.
So even though we're down 10 right now, and it'd be nice to get Tim Duncan or someone else back in the game, we're going to hold them off because we have a set minutes where we want them to play so they're fresh. I think people just look at they look at it differently. I mean, the big topic now is Kobe Bryant's even come out and said they need to go from 82 games to less games. Players get injured too often.
Yeah.
The product isn't as good as it could be because players aren't playing at their top level because they're so tired.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree or disagree with it, but I think it's just a difference in philosophy than what it ever used to be.
Here's a comparison for you. LeBron and his trips to the finals, this is just in the years of, like, just for the full playoffs those years. 07, he played 44.7 minutes per game. 11, 43.9, 12, 42.7, 41.7,
very similar.
38.2, and he was kind of banged up in 14, 42.2, and 37.9
so
this year.
So basically it's gone down every year.
Except for last year.
Other than 1 year, which would indicate a difference in the trend of the game.
Yeah.
Which is changing. And I like hearing these old players talk, and I agree with them wholeheartedly. Yes, the game has changed. James Worthy was being interviewed last night. The one thing I didn't realize, but back when he played at the Showtime Lakers, so one of the differences is they had two refs back then, two refs versus three. So you got away with that. There was more banging. But I don't think there's any argument to be made that the game hasn't gotten substantially softer. And you either like that or you don't. I mean, I like three-pointers. I mean, that's exciting to watch too. But the game changed massively from the 80s. I mean, the Bad Boys, which was 90s. But, the Bad Boys in Detroit and all that, when, you know, fouls, there were fouls almost in every play that weren't called. It had to be flagrant, basically, to get called. But, you know, massively different game.
See, I think people remember back then a little bit differently than it probably really was. So it was the anniversary. You know how ESPN and everyone likes to do the anniversary whenever Michael Jordan wakes up out of bed. Like 20 years ago, Michael Jordan rolled out of bed. But anyway, they had Michael Jordan scored X amount of points against the Portland Trail Blazers. And I went back and watched his highlights. He wasn't guarded, like, at all from three-point range. I mean, if Steph Curry got those looks, he'd score 80 points in a game.
Yeah.
I mean, it wouldn't even be – and even my cousin, who lives in Chicago, a huge fan, he posted on Facebook this and said, hey, Jordan's awesome. He's great. But look at these shots he's getting.
Yeah.
People say, oh, they played better defense back then. Bull crap. No, and they never guarded the three because they didn't have to because people didn't – they didn't like you shooting threes. Coaches didn't want you shooting threes.
They didn't light it up
for
three.
And I don't really know if it's more physical back then than it was now. Now, you could do cheap shots and not have to worry about getting suspended. Yeah. Absolutely agree with that. But I think it's still pretty flippin' physical when I watch these teams play.
I'd be curious, Jared, you're the stats guy over there. Jordan's record for three-pointers in a game. Is that easy to find?
Yeah.
I'm bad at that stuff.
That was probably that Portland Trailblazer game.
I'm curious.
He hit like six or something in the first half.
In his whole career? Or?
Yeah, his career. I'm curious. Because you don't think of Jordan as a three-point shooter.
No.
I mean, he shot them, but he wasn't. But yeah, if they weren't guarding him, that's interesting. And then, yeah, the three-pointers changed the game.
Yeah.
It totally has changed the game.
It makes it harder to defend because you have a lot more. It's just like the spread offense in football, right?
Yeah.
You got to defend all 50 yards of the football field rather than, hey, we're going to pound it. We're going to run it right up the middle.
Would the NBA ever – they can't really do anything on the sides because literally to shoot a three-pointer from the corner, you're squeezing in between the out-of-bounds line and three-point line. There's almost no room, especially if you have huge feet, like probably a lot of those guys do. But extending it outwards, would the NBA ever do that, or do they love the scoring so much they wouldn't touch it? If it gets to the point where it seems too easy.
Well, they've changed it, what, three times already?
So would they do it more? Would they back it up another foot?
That's a good question.
Michael Jordan shot better than 40% from three in his career once. He shot worse than 25% in every year except for three.
So he was not a good three-point shooter.
No. He was awful three-point shooter.
What was his most in one game? Does it say that?
I can't find in one game.
So
the most he ever made in a season is 100.
So is
111, actually.
Curry made 400 this year.
Yeah.
So that's, again, eras. Tough to compare, as people say, that Jordan's the greatest of all time. Many people believe that. Okay, but now you're telling me that the greatest player of all time was a lousy three-point shooter, essentially. Less than 25% is garbage.
As a shooting guard.
Yeah.
Or a small forward, however you want to put it. I mean, you can't. Yeah, in today's game, it would be different. They would guard him differently than they did back then.
Yeah. And Steph, everybody thinks that Steph is a good three-point shooter. He's one of the best of all time, maybe the best of all time, but he's also good inside. I mean, the guy's got crazy good moves.
He's got a good handle, yeah.
Down low, especially for being short, relatively speaking. Yeah, I did not know Jordan was that bad.
32% career for Jordan. What were you looking at?
That's not good.
Basketball Reference.
That's what I'm on.
Let's have a race. Who can find it first? All right, so game four, predictions. I am curious about this. It's tomorrow night. It's relevant. We've just had three consecutive blowouts.
Do you feel
what's bad? What's the line tomorrow? Have you seen it?
No, I'm guessing it's probably essentially a pick'em.
It was. This one was a pick'em.
Yeah.
Okay, but you're coming off a 30-point win. Does Vegas boost it?
No.
I wouldn't have been surprised to see three and a half, something like that.
Well, I'll pull it up and take a look right now. While I'm looking this up, I got a question for you. Do you feel bad for Kevin Love? Like the narrative
stupid. The part of me that has compassion as a human does.
Yeah.
Because your team stunk with you and dominated without you.
But did it really, like, in the first game, it was a 6-point game going into the fourth quarter, right? And then they got blown out in the fourth quarter. And then he got hurt in the first half of that game, kind of late in the first half. But I think it's really unfair to that guy to say, oh, they're so much better without
him. Did you hear one of the commentators last night said, they asked about the difference during the game, one of them said, with all due respect, it's because there's no Kevin Love out there.
Yeah.
Meaning, whoever was in for Kevin Love, was it Jefferson?
Yeah, Richard Jefferson.
Better at defense? That was the point that they were making?
Especially against that team. Yeah.
So, okay, Kevin Love is a healthy Kevin Love in game four.
Kevin Love doesn't really move very much.
You got to start him,
on offense, either.
He'll
go to that corner and he'll kind of stay there.
Do you have to you have a healthy Kevin Love in game four. You have to start him.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Regardless of outcome.
Yes. Now, you could shorten his minutes up quite a bit and play Richard Jefferson a lot more, but I think you have to start
him. I don't like it when coaches get in that rut, and it has to do with ego and contract and things like that. But, and again, I'm not going to compare Kevin Love to Harrison Barnes, but a Steve Kerr is more than willing to put in Iguodala to start versus Harrison Barnes if the matchup dictates that.
But I don't think Harrison Barnes has never
been Kevin Love. He played well last night, by the way.
He did, really good. Harrison Barnes has never been Kevin Love.
Never will be, most likely.
And Richard Jefferson is 35 years old, and I mean, he's been around for a long time.
Who is Kevin Love anymore, though?
He's a guy that averaged – he's one of eight players that averaged 10 rebounds a game in the NBA.
He's not the Timberwolves version.
See, this is what I love about LeBron. He makes everyone better. Well, except for Chris Bosh and Kevin Love. Those guys go there, and all of a sudden their offense sucks.
Yeah. You know what? I like LeBron. It's easy to hate LeBron because he's LeBron James, but they were showing him getting everybody fired up before the game last night. And he was, you know, firing them up and saying, let's play good, blah, 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 blah. But he also said, follow my lead. He specifically said those words, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's a leader, you know, and in that case, and the Cavs go as he goes, and he had a great game. So, you know, and again, greatest of all time, blah, blah, blah. He's not a great three-point shooter either, and he doesn't need to be. But he is a leader. There's no question about it.
And I feel like once he gets his groove going, that's when it opens up for Kyrie to kind of get his thing going a little bit too.
Kyrie was unbelievable in the first quarter.
And,
unbelievable.
With Kevin Love, dude, he doesn't play the same way that I remember him playing, like when he was in Minnesota. And
I don't look at him.
I miss fat Kevin Love.
He averaged 16 points and 10 rebounds this year. I mean, and two and a half assists. That's pretty. I mean, he's still pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, he's still pretty good, but
not worthy of this part of this big three title.
Yeah,
I mean, not the way he's been playing.
So
Kyrie Irving certainly was.
Now Chris Bosh obviously was a better defender. He was actually a really good defender. But you look at Chris Bosh, he was a big time player in Toronto. He goes to Miami, and we heard the same thing in the playoffs. How many times during the playoffs in the 4 years there in the finals? Oh, Chris Bosh has just completely left this team, and his offense sucks, and you can't trust Chris Bosh. And he'd have games where he sucked. At what point is it scoring power forwards and LeBron James don't really match up very well together?
Well, and part of it is if you're playing next to LeBron James, you're naturally overshadowed. I mean, you're not going to look as good when you're playing against him.
Yeah.
And then Irving, I think. Irving's better than Kevin Love at this point.
Well, one of those years, Bosh was hurt for a lot of the playoffs. He only played 14 games in 2012.
Kyrie Irving made a lot of shots last night.
So,
if you're a coach, does it bother you when your player takes essentially a step inside the three-point line and shoots from there? And he was making them, but like, don't you want the three versus the really deep two? It's like shoot from three. It's an extra foot.
Yeah. He loves that shot, though.
Just inside the
line. He does. Yeah, you're right. He loves it. Yeah, I mean, I would much rather shoot a three.
He had a great shooting game. All right, so... Game four, predictions.
Oh, man.
What happens?
Well, I said Cavs in six, and when we did this last week, and I thought that LeBron in the first couple of games would be a little bit more aggressive downhill. Because let's be honest, when that guy goes downhill, you're not stopping him. He's a freight train.
Yeah.
Sometimes he gets a little too passive, and you look at his stats are always really good. Mm-hmm. But sometimes his stats don't match up with what you see on the court, in my opinion. That's always been a big thing with LeBron. If he keeps going downhill and they stay aggressive, I think they win this game again. But I don't know. I think Warriors get it. I think the Warriors rebound. And they win.
And tomorrow. Win.
Yeah,
they win.
Cavs are 1.5-point favorite, by the way.
So it did go up. Line went up. Based on last night, it is very easy to see a 7-game series at this point. And the home team wins every single game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me in the slightest. I think I'm swayed by the fact that I like the Warriors and one of their players went to my high school and all that stuff. But I do think they're the better team. I thought it before. I still think it now. They have to shoot better. If they come out and they're hitting their shots tomorrow, they'll win the game. But they came out ice cold, and you can't do that. 3 of 18 from 3 at one point or something like that.
Yeah, they were 9 of 33 yesterday from 3. That's not good.
It's not going to get it done.
Another person that is made, the media is making excuses for right now, and it drives me crazy, Steph Curry. Right? Every time he plays a bad game, Steph Curry's hurt. And then he'll play 3 games in a row that he plays solid, and you don't hear anything about him being hurt again.
No.
It's so annoying.
Last night, though, it was his mind wasn't in it. That was the story. Because he even got pulled during the game,
mm-hmm.
Second quarter, maybe first quarter. And you could see Curry saying, or not Curry,
Ask me,
you okay?
And he said, yeah. And he goes, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but he seemed a little bit not Curry-like, I guess.
He wasn't aggressive at all.
But everybody has bad games. I mean, that happens. But, yeah, the shot was off and not being aggressive. I just can't believe the difference between home court advantage. I mean, just the difference in just momentum. And obviously you get the crowd roaring and you hit a big three at the right time. I mean, the place goes nuts. These are professional athletes, though. You wouldn't think it would affect them as much as it apparently does.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm giving these guys too much credit.
Chris Bosh and Kevin Love had, like, eerily similar stat lines when they were both playing with LeBron. Like, eerily similar.
You just thought I was making this stuff up, didn't
well,
you?
Well, the thing about his time in Toronto, can you name another player that Chris Bosh played with in Toronto? I don't even think I can.
Was McGrady with him for a little bit?
No.
No.
Him and Vince Carter were together, like,
Vince
in the
Carter.
Late 90s.
Yeah, okay.
The late 90s.
And to be fair to Chris Bosh, he is a far superior defender to Kevin Love. So that's not apples. But I'm just saying, as far as their offense production goes, I hate how they use Kevin Love. You watch him in the post sometimes. He's hard to flip and guard in the post if they're putting, but they don't. He stands in the corner, like you said.
That's where LeBron wants to. That's where LeBron does his work.
Doesn't that stat, though, that you say eerily similar, make a lot of sense that if you're on LeBron's team, you're going to get what LeBron gives you? Mm-hmm. And he gave both players the same thing. Same shot opportunities, same amount of possessions, all of that stuff. It all goes through him. So if you know, LeBron wants to take the shot, he's taking the shot every single time.
Yeah, but it's hard to say that it's too much of a difference because it's not like LeBron left and all of a sudden Chris Bosh is averaging 25 points a game again because he wasn't, you know.
But he hasn't played since LeBron left either. He's had the heart condition ever since he left.
He averaged – I mean, he's played 90 games.
In 2 years?
Yeah.
A season. Is there a little bit more than that?
With a bum heart?
Yeah. Yeah, that's just not a good deal. I would not be surprised if he never plays again.
That's the rumor, yeah.
Yeah.
They were trying to get him back into the playoffs this year.
He wanted to come back. I think they came out and basically said
– Yeah, that's not happening.
It's not looking
good. The NBA is opposed to players dying on the court. They don't – that's not a good look.
No.
Like, maybe you should shut this down.
It's too bad, too. He's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Which – where do you play college ball, by the way?
Georgia Tech.
No wonder.
Paul Hewitt.
College.
He was a third pick or fourth pick in the draft, I think.
Yeah. Georgia Tech's one of those teams that you never hear anything about in college basketball. They've had some good players come out of Georgia Tech.
Oh, yeah.
Like, think about it. Maybe every once in a while they do a little something in the tournament.
Him and Jared Jack went to the Final Four, didn't they?
They were good in the early 2000s with – who was their coach?
Paul Hewitt.
Paul Hewitt, yeah. They were good then.
Yeah. Did you have any trivia, Greg, or were you just bluffing? Bluffing.
There, you can ask her.
She's checked in. No, they don't?
What's wrong with you guys? Sarah, Sarah, what's wrong with you guys?
Sarah, don't act like you don't like a good Australian accent. No. She doesn't, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
Sarah lies all the time. I can't believe it.
So, guys, which was the only team to win two World Series in the 1980s?
That's a good trivia question right there.
Jared, were you born in the 80s?
I was not.
The Twins won in
91. They beat the Braves.
85 was the Royals. That was the only one they won in that decade. 86 was the New York Mets, I want to say. 87 was the Twins.
88 was the Dodgers. 89 was the Giants.
90 was the Reds.
Yeah.
So none of those.
80 was the Reds as well.
When were the A's?
It was the A's, wasn't it?
No, 89.
89, I think.
89 was the A's. 85 was the Royals. 84 was the Tigers. 83, it had to be early 80s then.
82 was the Cardinals.
So Cardinals only won.
Who was it in 81 and 83 then?
I'm going to pull up. I want to know if you guys are actually right on this.
87, it was the Twins.
Twins, yeah. It's got to be whoever won in 81, 83, because I know the Reds won in 80 and then the Cardinals won in 82.
And Detroit was 84?
I believe so.
Phillies? When did the Phillies win?
Maybe they won in 80.
Phillies?
No, it's not the Phillies, I don't think.
They didn't win two?
No, they just won one.
Okay, so just let's go back to this. 89, Oakland A's, right?
88 was the Dodgers.
Dodgers.
87 was the Twins.
Correct.
86 was the Mets.
Correct.
85 was the Royals.
Correct.
84 was the Tigers.
Yep.
83, Phillies?
They lost. Phillies lost in that one to the
Tigers?
Orioles.
Okay. 82, you're saying was St. Louis.
Yeah.
Correct.
81, I don't know 81.
That's that, if you guys get that one, you have the answer.
Is it the Reds?
It is not the Reds.
81.
They beat the Yankees. So it's a National League team. They beat the Yankees in six games.
Beat the Yankees. 81.
Is it the Dodgers?
Dodgers.
Yeah, it's the
really?
Dodgers.
Dodgers, the only team.
Yep. I wonder if it was on that team. 81. It's not a bad trivia question. The only team. That's interesting. That's interesting.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate your
You got another one?
No, it's just one trivia question for me today, guys.
You suck, dude. You
know, I got a couple more, but for some reason your internet is ridiculously slow here at the edge.
Well, that's because Sarah's hogging it right now. There's only a few of us that can work at a time.
I'll go with a really easy one here for you guys. In 1992, baseball greats – nah, this is stupid easy.
1992?
1990.
Okay.
Two baseball greats create history by becoming the first father-son duo to hit back-to-back homers.
Ken Griffey and Senior Jr.
How ridiculous is that, by the way?
Yeah.
That is...
The Griffeys.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool, though. I mean, father-son in the same lineup.
Right.
That's not... Yeah. You won't see that again, I don't think.
I'm going to go tennis.
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
But I think you can get this.
All right.
Who is the only tennis player to have won each of the four Grand Slam events at least four times?
Is it a male or a female?
It is a female.
Is it Serena?
Is it current, like 1970s or more recent?
You know this player.
So a few names jump to mind. Like a Monica Seles would jump to mind. Navratilova would jump to mind. Those are legends in the game.
Who's the girl that won the Battle of the Sexes?
That was...
Is Steffi Graf married to someone?
That was King.
Yeah.
She...
I don't think it was her, though. Steffi Graf is married to Andre
Agassi. Andre Agassi, that's right. Okay.
Man. Celis is the one that got stabbed, by the way. On the court, if you remember that. I would probably say, out of those, probably Navratilova.
Answer is Steffi Graf.
Damn it. So close.
Yeah.
So close.
Let's go to American football, not that European football.
So we're not soccer.
Not soccer.
Talking pigskins.
We're talking football. Who is the only coach to win both a Super Bowl and a Rose Bowl?
Bill Walsh.
Was he at Stanford? Won it?
Yeah.
This is incorrect.
Damn.
So obviously
it's actually it's a very good guess though.
Well, you could so it's Big Ten or Pac Ten. Right? I'm assuming the Rose Bowl's always kind of been that way.
Pretty much, yeah.
Pete Carroll.
Good guess. No.
He never won the Rose Bowl?
Must not have.
Wow. That surprises me.
He lost to Texas in the Rose Bowl. Remember that?
Okay.
Wasn't that the Rose Bowl that they lost to Texas?
Didn't they win that year with Mark Sanchez? Or was he gone already?
Could have been, I don't know.
You guys calling me a liar on this question?
Well, no.
No,
that seems... possible.
That's a great guess.
Rose Bowl. Can you give us – is it a Pac-10 team or a Big Ten team? That will help.
Yeah, let me
– you actually need to look up the answer first.
I'm trying to think.
By the way, for people listening to this right now or whenever you're listening to this, they're yelling their answers at the computer. You guys suck.
How do you guys have your own show?
This is so obvious.
You guys know nothing about
sports. All right, guys, this is not Stump the Schwab, all right? This is the podcast.
Pac-12 coach.
All right, Pac-12, so you can immediately rule out a bunch of schools.
Yeah.
He was only there for 2 years.
UCLA?
That is the name of the school.
So John Robinson never won a Super Bowl. Mora has not won a Super Bowl. Who is it? UCLA. Is this a well-known name?
Yes.
Who coached at UCLA? Moore is the current coach. Mel Robinson, I think, was actually at USC. Why is this so hard?
He would cry right now if you didn't know the answer. Come on, yeah, that's a phenomenal clue, guys. He would cry.
Is it Dick Vermeil?
Dick Vermeil. Yep. Dick Vermeil.
I didn't know he was the coach of UCLA.
2 years before he went to the Eagles. I did not either. That's why I had to look it up.
That's a tough question, man.
Yeah.
That's going into the vault of history right there.
Here's a little easier one for you. We'll mix up sports again. Which boxer was an underdog with odds of 42-1 when he stunned Mike Tyson?
That's easy. Does the rookie know this one?
That's why I'm – he might not, because this is not when you were born.
Because I watched this fight. I saw it.
Yeah, I keep forgetting how old you are.
I'm pretty old.
Is it Buster Douglas?
Right, there you go.
Yeah.
Do you know where that fight took place? I'm not 100% positive. I have a guess on where this fight was, but I might be off.
Vegas? I don't know.
I think it was Tokyo. I think it was overseas.
Was it?
Yeah, I believe. You could probably verify that one. All right. How are we for time? We got time for one more trivia question? Are you find a good one?
This is a good one for you, Trevor, because you have this come up quite a bit.
Okay.
Okay, this is more of a rule question.
Okay.
What is the maximum time limit allowed to look for a lost ball in golf? And I'm going to start putting you on the clock when I play with you, all right?
That's an interesting question.
I'm
going to take a guess because having watched enough golf on TV, it seems like it's a fairly decent amount of time.
Yeah.
I've seen people look. And obviously you can have fans help look, which is interesting too. Maximum amount of time, I'd say it's 5 minutes. That's my guess.
That is correct.
Wow.
I'm going to start putting my buddy on the clock. So I play in a Wednesday night men's league where we travel all around, and he loves looking for golf balls.
Yeah.
If his ball is out in like the fair, yeah, like the grass, he finds his ball, but then he goes searching forever. And he's
the golf ball hunter. Yeah. We all play with guys like that.
And next thing you know, I'm putting on the green, and he's 200 yards back. So I'm going to get a stopwatch.
Yeah.
I'm going to hit start, and I'm going to sit it right there, right, yeah, next to him. And then I'm just going to
– I ever tell you my premise for the show that I want to produce out there? And got to find a star for this. So this – and his premise sounds pretty stupid. But let's think for a second about television. We got a million channels, and all of those shows need to fill their or those networks have to fill their time with content. So there's worse shows than this show on TV. And if those crap shows can get on, this one could too. The show is called The Golf Ball Hunter. And the obvious buyer of this show is the Golf Network. They would have to buy the show. And each week, the golf ball hunter, right, goes to another new location. Maybe it's a hole where you can drive it, and maybe it falls off a cliff. Okay, so that show, he's like scaling down this freaking cliff to go get golf balls. And at the end, because everybody wants to know like the value of things, right? You got this shot showing all the golf balls he found, like his Pro Vs or whatever, and then it adds up and it says how much money he made based on the resale of that. So it's like, this week, golf ball hunter made $185 or whatever the case is. The next week, he goes to the hole that has a pond, right? He's getting on a scuba gear. He's going down to find the balls. And each week, it's like new drama, new location, new hard hole to actually go find balls in. That's your show, man. Don't tell me that guys sitting there watching golf, loving golf, don't have their beer cracked open, and they would watch the show just to see what this guy did and how many golf balls you find. It's a simple show, but this is a show that people would actually watch.
There are worse shows out there.
Like I said.
But not many. Not many.
Yeah, there are worse shows out there.
That sounds pretty awful.
I didn't say it's an Emmy-winning show.
I might watch it twice and then it'd be like, okay, now I'm good.
You know, and it's like you got to fill those shows with a little bit of drama. So did you guys see the video of the alligator like walking across the course? And so
I'd poop myself.
Yeah, so you do that. You do that like – shows like that lie all the time. She would show him about to enter the pond, right, where there's clearly no alligators or crocodiles, but then you would cut away to the view of that alligator walking across as if he goes in this body of water, that guy might get him, and there's no chance of it because it's a pond in Iowa. You just don't tell people that. You got to create some drama. But then the other thing too is you got to come up with a catchphrase. If anyone out there listening has a great catchphrase, like every time he finds like – what's the holy grail of golf balls? Is it still a Pro V1?
Pro V1.
Is that the most one?
Yep.
So every time he finds a nice, shiny Pro V1, he yells, "Cracky!" or something, whatever. So if you've got a good catchphrase for my show, email us or go on Twitter and tell us your catchphrase.
Cracky.
Just whatever.
That's terrible.
Yeah. You guys are over there kind of thinking, I wish I thought of this idea.
If you go to like a TCI, he could probably find 10,000 golf balls.
A lot of them. Yeah. You play TCI a lot. Have you ever played TCI?
No.
What's the one spot for those that have, not to bore people, but the spot on the course where you'd find the most, do you think?
Oh, geez.
Their handicap, their number one handicap hole, which is over the ravine.
Yep.
To the green.
Hole
short,
six.
Short of that and left of that, where there's woods and like that nature area.
Yep.
You would find a lot.
Yeah, probably. That's hole six, yeah.
The balls in that hole. Yep. Lots. So I know because I donated one just last weekend.
Did you?
Yeah. Came up a little short.
On your approach shot or on your drive?
No, not on the drive, on the approach shot.
Approach shot, yeah. It's a tough one because that big tree hangs right over it too.
Oh,
so.
There's a reason it's the number one handicap pull out.
That all sucks.
So anyway, we got anything else, boys? Jared, you want to talk about your love life at all?
No, I don't think so.
Is it still going strong?
Yeah. Well, my love life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it, like 3 months now? Like your official 3 months?
Yeah.
You guys celebrate that?
No.
What do you celebrate? 6 months or do you have to wait for a full year before you celebrate it?
Every day, apparently.
Sarah, the cheap seats are chiming in.
Sarah wants to be on this podcast so bad.
Sarah, do you want to come say hi?
She wants to.
You basically already have. Hey, come here. I'm going to let you do something real quick. For real. For real. So come over, please.
That sounds terrible.
Please, come over. I'm going to let her plug something. Which is sports related.
There you go.
All right, here you go. Talk about your fights coming up.
Yeah.
If you like real sports...
Whoa.
No, real contact sports where you don't get fouled for accidentally punching someone.
That's true.
June 24th at the Buccaneers Arena, UFC Fight Pass is live also, but Victory Fighting Championships. There are, I think, like 10 pro fights.
Wow.
Probably four or five.
How much fights. For a ticket to get in there?
$20 and up. Depends on where you want to be.
You buy beer?
Yeah.
Food?
Yeah.
All that fun stuff.
All of that.
And see 10 stuff. Fights.
More than 10.
More than 10, okay.
Usually there's about 12.
Nobody that's a pretty can hear deal, me, but if you like UFC,
yeah.
This is the local version of that.
Yeah, this is the local version. And then also, if you listen and you don't live here, then you can watch it live streamed on UFC Fight Pass.
So do you get fighters from all over?
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Not just Iowa?
I mean, nope, not just Iowa. But you there's have two title fights.
Okay.
So those are five-round fights.
What weight class? Is it like boxing with weight class? I don't.
Yeah,
I
there's
know.
All different weight classes,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know a whole lot about UFC.
Are you coming with Mark? June 24th?
No, I'm not manly enough.
I didn't ask you to fight. I just asked
no,
you
I know, but everyone they watch. But they all want to fight there. All the fans in the stands,
no,
they all
in
want to.
In 10 years, we've had like one fight in the crowd.
Great.
Don't generalize.
We'd be in the VIP area, Greg. VIP.
VIP?
Yeah.
Oh, I can be in the VIP? Yeah, I'm in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then awesome. You can talk about it on the podcast.
Sounds good. Yeah.
All right.
June what?
June 24th.
June 24th.
Doors open at 6. Fights start at 7.
Yeah.
Perfect. Sounds good. Thanks, Eric. Nice. I'll go to that. I've never been to a fight before.
She's a pro, dude. Just stepped right in. Made it happen. So, no, I've actually been to one. I went, I'm the first to admit that, like, that's not totally my thing, right? I don't get amped for fights when they come on to UFC. But, yeah, if you like that type of thing and you want
which
to see
a lot of people do
each other,
because it's extremely
I mean,
popular.
They're well attended. And Sarah, by the way, her and her husband are the promoters. That's why she's talking about fights. It's a good time. So Bucks Arena, June 24th. Come check it out. And if you need to find tickets, you can get a hold of me, too. I'm sure I know someone to talk to.
Sure, I'll be there in the VIP tent, signing autographs, kissing babies.
And you can meet Sarah in person if you come to the fights, too.
Is that – is she okay with that?
I know a few guys out there listening to this that would like to meet Sarah. So. is she blushing yet?
No, I think she just gave you the middle finger, though.
Probably. So, all right, boys. Let's
– in this.
Let's wrap up.
All right.
Later.